20. Körperkrise ist da, du bist in den Leben da, die Kanonen sollen nicht so was. Krishna explains the reasons for his coming, adventing himself in this world. He explains this in the Bhagavad Gita, Pritranaya Saduram Vinataya Vidaskritam. Pritranaya Sadunam. Everyone would please be a little more quiet. Would be a little more helpful. Pritranaya Sadunam means to give protection to the sadhus. But a sadhu is one who is always and only looking towards Krishna for protection. He's already fully protected. This material world is actually a very dangerous place. Dukalayam ashashvatam manitya sukalokam, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. It is an extremely dangerous place because ultimately the ruler of this world is time. Kalosmin lokachaya krit. And time, as a potency of Krishna, ultimately turns everything within this material world into dust. To dust, nothing will be left. So the tendency of every living entity in this world is to take shelter, look for their shelter in the material world. But there is no shelter in the material world. The shelter, the only shelter, is in something that is eternal. We long for an eternal shelter. And the sadhus are already taking shelter of Krishna because that is what it means to be a sadhu. This is the platform of nishtha, fixedness. When one gives up all hope of finding protection on the material level, in the body, in the family, pashanapi, in the pashyati, in the wealth, in the country, all will be turned into dust. No shelter is there. So sadhu is one who has used his life's energy, to find shelter, true shelter. And he has discovered that shelter. And that shelter isn't something that is eternal, and that shelter is in the lotus feet of Krishna. Samashitamji parapalava pralam. Mahatpadam punyai shomarari. And if one takes shelter of Krishna, bhavam buddhir vatapadam, that the ocean of the material world, this dangerous ocean, it becomes very small, like vatsapadam, like the size of a calf, the hoofprint of a calf. One can easily, unnoticeably step over it. So the sadhus have done that. So what is the cause of Krishna's coming to this world to give them shelter if they're already sheltered by him? And the answer is the misery that they feel is a deep longing to be near Him. They don't long for anything within this world. They don't long for to possess, to own in this world. They long to be with Krishna, to love Him and serve Him. So to remove that pain, that sin, that vipralamba bhav, to increase their ecstasy, Krishna pritranaya sadunam, He comes to give them His association. Externally, superficially, He removes the burden of the earth. But He can do that in one moment, just with a snap of His fingers, by His time, by so many incarnations. But Krishna Himself, Krishna is the Bhagavan Sayam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He Himself comes to give His association to His devotees, and He comes to display in this world the most wonderful, the most sweet activities. He displays a prototype of the spiritual world, of Goloka Vrindavan. He displays that in Boma Vrindavan, in the earthly Vrindavan, for the purpose of showing what it is like in the spiritual world, what it is like to have Krishna before your eyes at all times, to be with Krishna. He displays the ecstasy that is available to be with Him continuously. And this so far overshadows any happiness that is available in this world, His divine pastimes that He displays in Goloka Vrindavan, even though they are extremely mysterious. They are so mysterious, but yet they carry with them such transcendental bliss that it pulls on the heart of everyone. And therefore, even 5,000 years after Krishna's advent, so much pleasure is available just by chanting Krishna's names and hearing about Krishna, His pastimes, His activities. Janma karma chame divyam. That if one knows, in fact, evam yovati tattvata, in truth, if one knows Krishna's activities and understands them, then no more birth. They are that powerful. Krishna's activities and pastimes are that powerful. Janma naiti mameti. No more birth in this world. Because the desire to enjoy in this world, dishtam manashtam vishyam pasevate, it will be supplanted by a desire to be with Krishna. And if that desire becomes nourished in our heart, especially by shravanadi, by hearing about Krishna, then that desire will burst into flame in time. And it will carry us to the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. But yet Krishna's pastimes are extremely mysterious. Very, very deep. One can say unlimitedly deep. I would like to read from Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto of the beginning, or the cause of Krishna's coming, the external cause. The internal cause is that He wishes to associate with His dear devotees and display the amazing pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan, dealing with the cowherd boys, dealing with the mothers and fathers, the gopis and gopis of Vrindavan, and the young girls of Vrindavan. He displays these pastimes to show us what our real life is. But first, before he does that, he comes to this material world as an avatar. And the beginning of Krishna's coming on the external level is when there is a great overburden on the earth. It describes in the Bhagavatam that the earth is a person personified, Bhumi Devi, and she actually feels pain. The earth actually feels pain when the cows with their hard hooves step upon her surface. She feels pain. So just imagine the painful condition of the earth now when there's the mining that's going on and the drilling of the oil wells deep into the earth. Terrible, terrible. And therefore the people on the earth, despite their desires for happiness, never actually find their happiness. Because it's the plan to be happy in the material world currently is in complete disregard for Krishna's plan of how to be happy in this world in a simple way. But in any case, Bhumi Devi was feeling so much pain because there were a great number of armies, military force was burdening the earth. And therefore, she complained. She complained to Lord Brahma, who is the chief executive officer, the CEO of the entire universe. And Brahma was not sure how to solve the problem himself, so he went to the supreme, supreme, supreme of the universe. He went to Chiradakshai Vishnu at the ocean of milk. And he, along with Lord Shiva and the other devatas, they begged Krishna to come, or Lord Chiradakshai Vishnu, to descend as an avatar. They begged him, but they did not hear any reply to their request. And then Lord Brahma, who was very powerful and very pure, he sat down by the ocean of milk, and he began to very, very deeply meditate on his prayer that, Krishna, you please come. We need you, Krishna. We need you, Krishna. The earth is in a very difficult position. We need you to descend. And then, although no one else could hear the reply of the Lord, Krishna replied in the meditation of Lord Brahma. And he said, yes, I will come. And all the demigods, all the devas, should prepare for my advent by taking their birth in Brajabhumi Vrindavan and in Mathura amongst the members of the Yadu dynasty. Take birth in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, all the residents of Vrindavan. They are not ordinary people as we are ordinary people. They are the most extraordinary entities who are born with an overflowing heart which is filled with nothing but Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So, Lord Brahma, we told all the demigods this, to take their birth in this world, in Boma, in this world, and that he himself would come. He also instructed his chief expansion, Sankarshan or Lord Baladev to come to assist him in his pastimes. And then, when the situation was going to be properly staged, then the Supreme Lord himself would come. And part of his mission would be to remove this great burden of the earth. But again, the most secret and wonderful part of his mission was going to be to display the most charming and intimate pastimes with his most intimate devotees in Sri Vrindavan. So then the demigods took their birth. And then, prior to Krishna's coming, there was a marriage performed. And that marriage was between Vasudeva of the Yadu dynasty and Devaki of the dynasty of which Ugrasena was the chief, the king in that area of Mathura. And Ugrasena's son was named Kamsa. And Kamsa had great love. Kamsa had great love for his youngest sister named Devaki. And therefore, there was a huge, huge marriage festival going on. Huge marriage festival. Both the dynasties of Surasena, the Yadu dynasty, the Vrishnis, they were all present there. And there were drums and bugles, and there were thousands of people there. The whole Kshatriya dynasties were all present for this wonderful marriage ceremony. And Kamsa himself, with his left hand, he was holding the reins of the chariot and driving the chariot in which Vasudeva and Devaki were sitting on this wonderful occasion, this happy occasion of the marriage of these two great personalities. And it was festive and everyone was so happy. This is a marriage ceremony. Everyone is happy. And then, all of a sudden, there was a voice. The words used in the Bhagavatam, Ashrira Vani, or Akashvani, which means there was a voice, an unembodied voice from the sky that declared that Kamsa, the Sanskrit, is Asya Tvam Astamo. Oops, wrong Sanskrit there. Yes, Asya Tvam Astamo Garbo. Very important to note the word Astama Garbo. It means the eighth child or the eighth embryo in the womb, the child that's going to come out. Notice that the voice doesn't say putra, son or daughter, but the astama garbha, the eighth child of your daughter, your sister, Devaki. Pantiyam mahase abhuda. Abhuda means you have no intelligence, it announced to Kamsa. You are a rascal, a fool, because you are driving the chariot of your sister and her husband, and you don't know that this Astama Garbo is hunter going to kill you. Now, what was this voice? In a moment, two, I shall explain this mystery. And it is quite mysterious because Kamsa's heart, what was really in Kamsa's heart, he was showing affection to his sister, but what was really in his heart came out now. He was actually a Buddha. He was actually a Asura. He was a demon. And immediately he dropped the reins of the chariot. And he grabbed his sister, Devaki, by her hair on this day. And he pulled out with his right hand a sharp sword, and he was immediately going to cut off her head. He was so powerful. By his strength, the demigods feared him. But yet when he heard this, he was ready to kill his innocent sister because he thought that his life was threatened. Because the mark, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was instructed by his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, to take initiation, diksha, from the great renunciant, Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj, who had no contact, his pleasure was so great, internally he needed to get nothing from the material world. His chanting, his nam bhajan was so intense, his pleasure filled him so deeply, he had no material desires. He was such a vairagi because of the depth of his Krishna consciousness. So he commented on Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj that after examining his character and the depth of his spiritual taste and renunciation, I have understood that no one but a devotee of Krishna can actually have deep integrity in this world. No one but someone like him can have the highest character in this world. Because everyone else can be bought by some material pleasure. But Gorkhasura Das Babaji Maharaj, there's nothing in the material world that could tempt him from leaving the sweet taste he was experiencing of love for Krishna. So Kamsa, even though he was showing affection to Devaki, when it was a choice between him and her, he pulled out his sword and was ready to kill her. Now where did this voice come from? Shastra explains and the Acharyas explain that this was actually the demigods. This was the demigods speaking, the devatas. Why would it be that the devatas would incite Kamsa to kill Devaki, who was due to have Krishna as her son? Why would they incite such things? It is very subtle and very deep. Devaki, actually, when she heard the voice from the sky, she was ecstatic. Why was she ecstatic? Very mysterious pastime. She is about to be killed by Kamsa and she is feeling ecstasy. And Kamsa is feeling such anger and animosity towards her. But she is feeling ecstasy and the devatas are pushing Kamsa to kill her. What is the mystery behind this? So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained that the devatas, they feared what? That Kamsa, out of his affection for Devaki, would not kill her. So they wanted to incite him to great anger. So he would attempt to kill her and kill all her children. Why? To increase his sinful reactions. And to bring, because the more sinful a person is, the more quickly they bring their death to them. So he wanted to, the devatas want to increase the sinful reactions of Kamsa, because he was going to be killed by Krishna. And they wanted so much to have the association of Krishna in this world. They wanted to bring forward his advent. So therefore, they pushed Kamsa into anger so he would attempt to kill Devaki. And then Vasudeva immediately stood and said, stop. And he gave so many reasons, good reasons. She is your sister. How could you kill her? How could you do this? You are causing your own future disasters. The karma that you will get from killing your sister is so great. Your future will be so dark. And your present fame will be ruined as well. Don't kill her. But Kamsa still was not convinced because his nature was so demonic. But then Vasudev, whose word of honor was so strong that Kamsa trusted it, he promised Kamsa that one by one, as my children are born, I will bring them to you. You have nothing to fear from Devaki herself. The voice in the sky said that the child of Devaki will kill you. Devaki will not hurt you. Spare her life. And I will bring you the children one by one. And because Kamsa trusted Vasudeva's word, he decided to indeed let Devaki go. But then what happened? Then the first child was born after some time to Devaki and Vasudev, and Vasudev, keeping his word, he presented this child to Kamsa, and Kamsa was so touched by the purity of Vasudev that he began speaking very, very sweetly and saying, no, 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 you take this child. I will not kill him. I will not kill him. You take him back. It is only the eighth child that I fear. So don't worry. You take him back. But then what happened? Because we know that each of the six children before Krishna, his younger brothers, they were killed by Kamsa. What caused that to happen? Kamsa's mood was a little soft. But Narada Muni came. And he did not want to see Kamsa in a soft mood. He wanted to see Kamsa killed these children. Because these great personalities, it is very difficult to understand their motives. He wanted to see Kamsa killed. The six children. For what purpose? Again, to increase Kamsa's sinfulness so that Krishna would come. Because these great devotees, they have the sole desire to serve Krishna, to be with Krishna. So Kamsa did that. Narada Muni told Kamsa that you want to spare this child, but you don't know what I know. And when I tell you what I know, you won't want to spare them. He told them that I have seen with my own eyes that the demigods have already taken birth in the Yadu dynasty. They have already taken their birth in Braja. And they are your greatest enemies. They have taken their birth and they are plotting against you. And any one of these children, they have come to support your enemy Vishnu, and any of these children might be the one who kill you. The plot is already begun. The conspiracy has begun for your death. And the result, so Kamsa immediately killed the child. This innocent child killed. This is the demonic nature. There is another reason why he was killed, that the children, one after another, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 were killed. And is that, as our Acharya and also the Bhagavatam explains, they were the sons of Maharishi, one of the sons of Lord Brahma. And they had done something inappropriate and they were forced to take their birth as the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. And when they were the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu due to their improper actions, they wanted to become free from fear of the demigods, and they went to Brahma and they prayed to Lord Brahma as Hiranyakashipu had prayed to Brahma for many benedictions that would free them from fear. And Lord Brahma granted that. But when Hiranyakashipu heard about it, he was so envious. He was so envious that he said, "You have turned your back on me to go to Brahma? I curse you that your own father, Kalanemi, will kill you." And Kalanemi in Krishna Lila is Kamsa. So they had to be killed by Kamsa, these first six children of Devaki and Vasudeva. So one after another, year after year, they were killed. And then the seventh child was who? Was Lord Balaram. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a wonderful explanation of this. That Devaki is bhakti herself. She has so much love for Krishna that she's going to attract Krishna to be her son. She has so, because that is the only way to bring Krishna to us, is that if we have devotion. Bhaktiamam navijanasti yavanyas chasmi tatvita. Without devotion, pure devotion, Krishna will never come to us. So Devaki had that. But before Krishna would come, six children had to be killed. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that these six children are the sons of Maharishi. And Maharishi means the mind. And six things have to be removed from the mind before Krishna will enter our hearts. And those are kam, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and matsarja. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. This means that we have to become free from materialism. Subtle, gross materialism. And then, as Prabhupada explains in his purport, then bhakti can grow like anything in our heart. And Prabhupada explains, also quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that a devotee has to be afraid of materialism. He has to become afraid of lust and anger and greed and intoxication and madness and illusion, and take shelter of Krishna and beg Krishna to protect him from these things. He has to understand that the material energy is so powerful, much more powerful than him. But Krishna is more powerful than the material energy. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has ascribed this meaning that these six have to be removed from the consciousness, and then bhakti will grow. And then the seventh child of Devaki is Lord Balaram, and that means he is the Sandini Shakti, or the Dham. Then even after the heart is cleansed, then the holy dumb has to descend in the heart. We need the mercy of blood balm. And then, when the heart is sparkling clean and pure and suitable for Krishna, and it becomes actually holy, then Krishna can descend into the heart. And that, in fact, when one's bhakti is so full of longing, I don't want anything of this world. Nadanam nadanam sundarim kavitam va jagadisha. Not even liberation. I don't want even to be free from misery. All I want is to love you, O dear Krishna. To serve you. That is all that I want. When that longing is in the heart, that will call Krishna to descend into the heart. But now, we want some Krishna, we want some of that, and we want some of that, and we want some of that, and we want some of that. And we get those things, but we don't get that which will truly satisfy us. And the only thing that will satisfy us is when Krishna is fully present in our heart. So when Krishna came, descended, appeared, first within the mind of Vasudeva and was transferred into the womb of Devaki, and then he took birth. First he took birth in a forearm form, fully decorated with helmet, kostuba jewels, glistening, yellow garments, all jewels, forearms. And Vasudev and Devaki, they understood that yes, the Lord has descended as our son. And they offered prayers with great respect because they knew that he was the Supreme Lord. And then finally they said, please transfer yourself into an ordinary two-armed child because your nature, your very nature, O Lord, is to protect your devotees. And now we are your devotees. We love you as our son. Even though we know you are the Lord, we love you, but protect us from fear. And we are afraid that Kamsa will kill you just as he has killed all the other of our children. So please change yourself into a two-arm form. And then after Krishna, Lord Vishnu actually, Vasudeva Krishna, explained to them how they had performed austerities in previous birth, he transformed himself into a two-arm form. And as Vasudev was taking this beautiful, most beautiful baby, Krishna, across the Jamuna River to Gokul, to Mahavan, at that moment, at that very time, a beautiful, very special baby, female child, was born to Yasoda Devi at that moment. And then Vasudev came and he went, all the guards in the prison where Kamsa was keeping them, they fell asleep, and Vasudev took this child across the river, and it was storming, and Anantashesha himself protected Vasudev, and he took the child and exchanged that child with the girl child born of Yasoda Devi, brought him back across the river, then placed the child in the arms of Devaki, and suddenly the child began crying, the girl child became crying, and Kamsa immediately was woken up, and he came, and Devaki came to him and prayed, please don't kill this child. Yes, it is the eighth child. but it is not a boy. He won't kill. There's no boy, man, child to kill you. It is just a girl. She is innocent. She is soft. She is sweet. Look how beautiful she is. Please do not kill her. She pleaded with Kamsa. Please. And Kamsa's heart was so hard that he picked up that girl child by the legs and began to throw it down on a stone to kill her. And that child, of course, was not an ordinary child. That was Krishna's sister, Subhadra Devi, Yogamaya. And she went up high into the sky and assumed eight arms just to put fear in the heart of Kamsa. And she said, "You cannot kill me, you rascal." Because this is the way a demonic person thinks. That soon as we are a little threatened, kill it, kill it, kill him. This person's my enemy, kill him. I don't like this person, crush them. This was Kamsa's mood. This is Asura Bhav. Now, this is also very mysterious. Because we know in this verse over here, actually, it describes that this Yogamaya was the younger sister, the Anuja. The Sanskrit word is Anuja. She said, this is that Krishna's younger sister has taken birth. So how is it? This is another mystery. How is it that this Yogamaya, who was born from Yasoda, and Krishna is born from Devaki and Vasudev, how are they sister and brother? So our acharyas have explained something very, very wonderful about this. And Prabhupada describes it also in his purport, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained that, actually speaking, it describes in the different verses of the Bhagavatam a few very special, very subtle points. And one of the subtle points is that, as I mentioned, that just as Vasudev Krishna crossed the Yamuna, at that time Yogamaya was born. But it also explains that Yasoda Devi gave birth exactly at the same time as Devaki. So how is it possible? She gave birth exactly at the same time as Devaki, and yet she gave birth, that Yasoda gave birth when Vasudeva was carrying the child across the Yamuna. And another very mysterious thing, that in the next chapter, there is a brief ceremony described. When Nanda Maharaj, very happily, they have a special ceremony for cutting the umbilical cord of the child. But this was the next day. So how could the umbilical cord of the child, Krishna, be cut the next day if it was Vasudeva's child being brought to the Yamuna? Across the Yamuna, there would be no umbilical cord to be cut. It's clear why Vasudev Krishna's umbilical cord wasn't cut, because he advented himself as four-arm Vishnu. With four arms, long hair, no children do that, come out like that. All the mothers can attest to that, fully with jewels and everything. No. He manifested himself. So how is it that the ceremony was performed where the child was cut? How come the Bhagavatam says that Krishna is actually the older brother of Yogamaya, Subhadra Devi? And how come he was born it says contradictory things, that they were born, first it says that he was born at the same time, and then later at the same time. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually, there were two children born of Yasoda Devi. One was Yogamaya and one was Krishna. Vrindavanam Pritya Pagam Ekam Nagatiti. Vrindavanam Pritya Ga Pagam Ekam Nagatiti. That Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. So he is actually born in Vrindavan, and Vasudev Krishna is born in Mathura. And then when Vasudev comes across the Yamuna, that Vasudev Krishna, who is a part of Krishna, the Supreme Bhagavan Swayam Krishna, he enters into that form of Krishna, because all the incarnations are within Krishna. And then Vasudev takes that child, the twin, Yogamaya, who is born after Krishna, and takes that child and gives it, that child, to Yasoda, to Devaki in Mathura. Because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, not even by one step. And why can't Krishna leave? He actually can't leave. Because the love of the residents of Vrindavan is so intense, they capture him. He can never leave Vrindavan. He may be unmanifest to our eyes. He may be unmanifest to our eyes, but he is captured by the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So Vrindavanam Pratyaga Param Ekam Nagashti. So Krishna's birth and activities are very mysterious. Very mysterious. Kunti Devi prays, how is it that Krishna's pastime in his Damodar Lila, that this Supreme Lord, who universes come effortlessly from the pores of his skin, when Mother Yasoda is binding him and tying him with rope, tears are coming from his eyes. His activities are so mysterious. So mysterious and extraordinary. And if we will read the Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we will read the Krishna book, the Bhagavad Gita, we will enter into this wonderful, wonderful, mysterious, wonderfully mysterious activities of Krishna. And Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam yo viti tatvata. Tatvadeyam purajanma naitimam eti soajan. No more birth if we actually understand the mysteries of Krishna's past. So, thank you very much for very patiently listening. I just wanted to make one final point. And that was, when Krishna hears the pleas of the demigods, there is so much trouble in the world. The demigods plead to him, please come, and he comes. But why is it there's so much trouble in the world today? Even more trouble than then. Why is it that Krishna doesn't come? There's so much trouble. We need Krishna so desperately now. Then there was only one Kamsa who killed his children. Now, how many are there? And the answer to this is in a very special gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. And the answer is that Krishna does come. He is here in the form of his holy name. And it is so simple. And if we, any time we have difficulty, any time we are disturbed, any time we have big troubles or little troubles, if we will just call out to Krishna and take shelter of his holy name, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yes, who said that? Very nice, thank you. Krishna, Krishna! If we'll just call out to Krishna, Abhinatam Namanamano, Krishna is actually present. And he will give us shelter. Mare Krishna Rake Ke, Rake Krishna Mare Ke. We should always take shelter of Krishna and his holy name. And Krishna is actually there, fully potent. Abhinatam Namanamano. Okay. Thank you.